So my PhD is focusing on the green turtles. So why green turtles? Well, they're one of the most common sea turtle species in the Ningaloo region, and they form part of a globally significant population. But most of the research so far has been focused on the nesting turtles or been in the nesting environment. So we're only just starting to get an idea of what's going on in there with their in-water biology and those foraging turtles that everyone's been talking about so far today. So my PhD will focus on the foraging ecology and energetics of this Ningaloo population, and specifically in response to climate change and changing conditions and how the turtles will respond to these changes. And I'll primarily be doing this through the use of an energy budget model, a dynamic energy budget model. So what is a dynamic energy budget model? Well, dynamic energy budget, or DEB theory, is based on the concept that an organism is made up of state variables, so structure, reserve, maturity, and a reproduction buffer in some species. So as an organism feeds, it assimilates energy into its reserve. This reserve energy is then used for growth to create new structure, for maintenance to maintain the structure that it has at the moment, for maturation and reproduction in adults, and to maintain that maturity. And as you can see, food is really important in these processes, but temperature is also another important factor because it influences the rates of all these processes, especially in a species like green turtles that are ectotherms. Temperature is a really important factor. So how do we build a model for a species? Well, we need to know some information about growth or metabolic rates, and we need to know some information about food and the temperature that they were experiencing during those measurements. We then use these food and temperature measurements in some equations that are based on the DEB theory. And these equations have some parameters in them. And these parameters basically define a model for a species. So we use these parameters and equations to make some predictions. And then we use a process of basically trial and error to change these parameters until we get the parameters that make the best fit between our predictions and our model, and our measurements, sorry. So once we have our parameters, we can then use these with new food and temperature conditions in those same equations and get new predictions. So how will these turtles allocate their energy to these growth and maturation and reproduction in these new scenarios? So for an animal like a sea turtle, where it's really difficult to get measurements of growth at specific food and temperature conditions, how are we going to get these measurements that we need to make the model? Well, for our study, we decided to focus on the embryo stage because we can carefully control the temperature and we don't need to worry about food because the eggs are laid with an initial reserve energy and they don't feed for that time. So we collected 5 clutches of eggs and randomly allocated them into 6 different incubators set at 5 different constant temperatures and 1 cycling temperature that was fluctuating between 30 plus or minus 5 degrees every day. And at different points throughout their development, I took a subset of the eggs in the 27 and 31 degree treatment and put them into respirometry chambers. And here we could measure their oxygen consumption and carbon dioxide production. We also measured the time to hatching for all of the temperatures, as well as size and residual yolk measurements as well. So some of the data that we got out of this was development rate. So as we can see, these dark blue or black dots are the constant temperatures. The green ones are the fluctuating temperatures with the lines showing the range of temperatures each day. So as the temperature increases, the development rate also increases, but only up to a certain point. And in this case for the Ningaloo turtles, it was 32.6 degrees. So anything hotter than 32.6 degrees, then the development rate starts to slow down again. This is really important when we think about things like sand temperatures increasing, and the longer these eggs are incubating in the ground, the more time they're vulnerable to nest predators. In terms of the hatchling size, here we've just got carapace length at the different temperatures. In blue here we've got mass, and yellow shows yolk mass. So with warmer temperatures, the turtles, the hatchlings were smaller, but they had more residual yolk mass. So that's important when we think about how much energy these turtles are going to need to crawl down the beach and swim out to the open water feeding environments before they can even take their first meal. So now once we've got all this data, and including the oxygen consumption data, which I haven't shown here, we can build our DEB model. And I won't show you the exact parameters that we got, but I'll just focus on the model fit, so how close our predictions were to our measurements. I'll just give a few examples of what we found. Straight carapace length at hatching was pretty close. Age at puberty was slightly underpredicted. Curved carapace length at puberty was slightly overpredicted, but still fairly reasonable match. Reproduction was matched quite well. Age at hatch, again, at temperature, the line is just the model fit there, that worked pretty well. And here we did have some information on the curved carapace length and weight, so all of the turtles that we've collected that Matt and Rich and everyone have caught in water, that's this data here. So we can see that although most of our data was focused on the embryos, we can still get a good fit to this juvenile and adult data. And even in this early stage of model fitting, we can still get some insights into how these turtles are allocating their energy. So this is just another example of data that we used to fit the model. So we've got embryo mass during development here at the two different temperatures, and the different colours show embryos from different mothers. So the maternal effect, so how much energy is a mother allocating to her eggs? If we look at these model predictions, these graphs just show the proportions of energy that have gone into each one of these components up until hatching. So this graph on the left is corresponding to that red line, so the embryos that don't reach quite large, and these ones here correspond to the black and blue lines which reach a larger size. So the model's predicting that these ones over here, their initial energy is less, but the proportion of energy that they're using to create this structure and for maintenance is larger. So as well as starting with smaller energy, they also have a smaller proportion of that energy left as reserve in when they hatch. So again, that comes back to how much energy are they going to have left to crawl down the beach and swim out to their foraging grounds. So we can start to get an idea of how these turtles are allocating their energy. And now we have our DEV model, we can use it in future temperature, food and temperature conditions to see what might happen to the juveniles and adults in these stages. So this part will form the next part of my project, which I haven't done too much about yet, but I'll just show you one last slide that will give you a bit of an idea of how I might go about doing this. So I've just made up these numbers, so don't focus on the numbers, just focus on the general trends. So I've made up some temperatures and food availability for 40 years worth of time. And these are the model predictions for how the turtles will respond. So their reserve energy, maturation investment, and puberty is reached when the line flattens out there, and length and fecundity. So if we change temperatures, say we increase the temperature and decrease food availability, we can see what happens. So we can see that they have a smaller amount of reserve energy. So because they're not getting as much food, the energy that they've got, they spend mostly on maintaining their structure and growth, and they don't have much left in that reserve there. They take longer to mature, they don't grow as big, and they have far fewer eggs. So although I've just made up these food and temperature inputs, you can sort of get an idea of how we can use this model to predict what might happen and how these turtles are allocating their energy in future scenarios. And finally, I'd just like to thank everyone involved, so the BHP SIRO partnership, everyone who helped in the field, both collecting eggs and tagging the turtles, far too many people to name, and people, Starlight and Nina, who helped collaborate in the model.